The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Welcome everyone to the broadcast. This is End Time Headlines. Today is Thursday, March 24th, and we are a little after 1 p.m. Eastern time in my neck of the woods. We welcome to the broadcast, depending on what time zone or what location you are in. We want to say good morning or good afternoon or good evening. Again, this is End Time Headlines, where news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And again, we welcome you. If this is your first time joining us on whatever platform you may be watching from, either live on Facebook or the rebroadcast of this, we welcome you to the broadcast. And if you're new, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new, and let us know where you guys are joining us from. We always appreciate to hear from all of our new viewers and our audience that comes on today. And before we get started, as always, we want to encourage you to, if you have not yet gotten the free app, you can do that on Apple or Android. Again, it's available on Apple. It's available on Android. And it's free at the Play Store, depending on what device you have. Just go there, type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official ETH logo. If you're watching this by Facebook, Rumble, or YouTube, in the comment section below, you're going to see a place where it says download our free app. There is a link that is provided underneath that. Click on that link, and it's going to take you to a page, an electronic page, where you can either click on the Apple logo or the Android logo, depending on what device you currently have. And you're going to get all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen at your leisure, or both. So we want to encourage you to do that. So we got an interesting topic today. I'm going to be dealing with plans for a new, this is the title for this message today, plans for a new world order are no longer hidden. Plans for a new world order are no longer hidden. They are in plain sight for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. What you're looking at here is the back of a $1 bill, and it is filled with symbolism that has been the center of controversy and conspiracy since the formation of the American empire itself. From the number of arrows in the right claw of the eagle to the layers of granite stone that's found in the pyramid, then you have the number 13 that's referenced repeatedly on the reverse side of the bill. It is, again, many individuals have explained this to be a reference of the original 13 colonies, but some see a more sinister side. Again, I'm giving you all angles here, and believe it is a direct reference to 13 Illuminati bloodlines. Now, you're going to hear references to Illuminati, New World Order, Rockefellers, Bilderbergs, all that's going to come into play. Reference to this Illuminati can also be found in the depiction of the Eye of Providence. There on your screen, you see the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. This is well known in any reference to Illuminati. The eye first appeared as part of the standard iconography of the Freemasons with the publication of Thomas Smith Webb's Freemason Monitor in 1797. However, as the name would suggest, the Eye of Providence is meant to represent God watching over humanity as it appears on the Great Seal of the United States. So again, you've got this one side of this, and then you have this other side of this. I'm only giving you some information today, and we expect you to be mature enough to discern rightfully and divide that. Also, on the reverse side of the dollar bill, there are two mottos, and that's what you see here, inscribed in Latin that have been directly linked to the works of the Roman poet Virgil. The first phrase is located just above the eye and reads, again, in Latin, derived from Latin, meaning to nod or to approve. That's where you see up here at the top. And undertakings. The phrase literally translates as, quote, he approves of the undertakings, but it's what is right below the pyramid that is the most intriguing. The phrase novus ordo seclorum literally translates as new world order. So it's right here on our currency, on the American dollar bill, or a new order for the ages. A new world order. I'm going to pull this off here, guys, so you can see me here. I'm going to read a little bit of this. A new world order, by definition, is an elite establishment of high-profile wealthy groups such as the Bilderbergs, the Rockefellers, the Illuminati, and others, all working together in unison with a globalist agenda to dominate and control the world as we know it through an authoritarian one world government. Now, this is going to be very important when we get to the latter part of this segment, when I show you, I believe biblically that's where we're headed, and this is why it's got to happen. This authoritarian one world government will ultimately replace sovereign nation states. Hello, America being one of this can only be accomplished when sovereign nations such as America are removed from being a superpower. This is very important when I read to you a story that actually just took place recently. There has to be the establishment of a global government, global currency, and global religion. It is believed that many influential historical and contemporary figures have therefore been part of this cabal that operates through many front organizations to orchestrate significant political and financial events. Are you listening? Ranging from systematic crises to pursuing through controversial policies on a national and international level as steps and an ongoing plot or agenda to achieve the goal of creating a new world order. Now, the governments that be, the big tech giants, all of them, they're all in cahoots with one another. They will label anyone who talks about this as conspiracy theorist. But again, I'm going to prove to you today that this is something that's no longer hidden. It is no longer veiled and walking on eggshells to discuss this. This is now open, in the open, is now up front, and is right in our face. The phrase New World Order, or similar language, was used even all the way back toward the end of the First World War in relation to Woodrow Wilson's vision for, now this is important, for international peace. Wilson called for a League of Nations. There's two phrases I want you to remember besides New World Order. Ready? Vision for international peace. That's one thing I want you to keep mental note of. And two, a League of Nations. So what is it again? A vision for international peace and a League of Nations involved in, again, this is instrumental in the formation of a new world order. Why? Ready? This League of Nations, the intent was, and I believe still is, and I'm going to show you that in the future in just a minute, to prevent aggression and conflict. In some instances, when Roosevelt used this phrase, New World Order or New Order in the World, it was referred to as an axis of powers and plans for world domination. Truman, his speeches have phrases in them such as, quote, better world order, quote, peaceful world order, quote, moral world order and, quote, world order based on law, but not so much new world order. According to Wikipedia, although Roosevelt and Truman may have been hesitant to use the phrase, commentators have applied the term retroactively to the order put in place by the World War II victors, including the United Nations and Bretton Woods system, as a, quote, new world order. Now, the most widely discussed application of the phrase of recent times came at the end of the Cold War, where Presidents Mikhail Gorbachev and George H.W. Bush, not Bush Jr., but Bush Sr., used the term to try to define the nature of the post-Cold War era and the spirit of great power cooperation that they would hope might materialize. Gorbachev's initial formulation was wide-ranging and idealistic, but his ability to press for it was severely limited by the international crisis of the Soviet system. In comparison, Bush's vision was not less circumscribed. A, quote, 100 generations have searched for the elusive path to peace. Let me read that again. 100 generations have searched for this elusive path to peace. Did you hear that? Because again, this is all important. While 1,000 wars raged across the span of human endeavor, today that new world is struggling to be born. A new world is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we've known. However, given the new unipolar status of the United States, Bush's vision was realistic in saying that there, quote, is no substitute for American leadership. The Gulf War of 1991 was regarded as the first test of the new world order. Interesting that the test was initiated through a war. Now, isn't it consequential and interesting that now we're in the middle of another war and something just occurred that was interesting and caught the attention and the chatter of individuals across the globe? And that was when our current president of the United States of America recently stood up during a gathering of business leaders at the White House and used the phrase New World Order.
I think this presents us with some significant opportunities to make some real changes. You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy, not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of them, as the one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people died, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
Now look at this right underneath this. U.S. president excites conspiracy theorists. See, again, always you got to label anyone who questions this, anyone who says that this is something that we need to be paying attention to. They have to be labeled as conspiracy theorists. U.S. president excites, or they stir up conspiracy theorists with, quote, unfortunate choice of words. Well, Mr. Biden didn't mean to say what he said. Guys, everybody just calm down. It was accidental. It was unfortunate choice of words. I mean, after all, the guy is senile. He may have signs of dementia. He's old. So we got to cut him a break just because he said, and let me just read what he actually said. Addressing the business Roundtable's CEO quarterly meeting, which included the bosses of General Motors, Apple, and Amazon. Mr. Biden concluded his remarks by saying,
"And now is the time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it."
Quote, he stands up, and again, in a meeting with General Motors, GM Motors, Apple, and Amazon, huge players, and says, quote, "Now is a time when things are shifting. What things are shifting? Well, hold on. We'll talk about that in a second. Quote, there's going to be a new world order out there. There's so much stuff in this, guys, that we're going to break down today. Number one, he says, now is a time when things are shifting. One. Number two, he says, there's going to be, not there might be, there could be, it's a conspiracy. No, he said there is going to be a new world order out there. That's number two. Number three, look at this. And we've got to lead it. And we've, plural tense, got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. Now, who is the we here? I believe it's twofold. The we, number one, in context, he's speaking to major business leaders that are spearheading this, GM Motors, Apple, and Amazon. We've got to lead this, and the United States of America, who this guy is the leader of it, whether you like him or not, he's the head honcho. He's the one leading this. He's the one spearheading it. So y'all get this? It's very important that you get this. I'm in my teaching mode. I teach eschatology class or Bible prophecy classes on Wednesday night at my local church. So I'm kind of getting into this mode where I'm constantly, I reiterate things and make sure that you're following along with me. Again, there was three things that you need to gather out of this meeting. Three things he said. Number one, now's the time of shifting. Number two, there is going to be a new world order. And number three, he says, we've got, and he said it twice, we've got to get on board. We've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the world in doing it. So this guy has just, and now look, the mainstream media is trying to play damage control with this and say, oh, hold on. Now, he didn't really mean that, and he's just blabbering. You know how Joe Biden, look, it's amazing how this guy, when he fumbles over things that they don't want to talk about it, but the moment that he speaks clearly and plainly about something that's controversial or it's deemed to be a conspiracy theory, all of a sudden, now we've got to look at his fumbles. Now we got to look at his age. Now we got to take into consideration that he could be senile. But before, no, we can't do that. But now all of a sudden, oh, no. Now don't twist what he said and don't make it say something he didn't say. Now, I believe, listen to me, I believe you guys are not that naive and not that stupid to actually believe that this guy didn't mean what he said. And I'm going to show you today. In fact, let's get started. All right. So remember, I told you earlier, I said, keep in mind the phrases of, let me go back and pull up my notes here. I told you, remember, the vision for international peace. Remember that? Number two, remember the League of Nations, because that's going to come into play. But let me go, and that will play in here in a little bit, but I'm going to go back to this three things that Biden said. One, there's coming a shifting. Number two, there's coming a new world order. And number three, we've got to get on board, and we've got to lead this thing. So let's start with the shifting. In order to bring about a true new world order, there has to be a shift from sovereignty to globalism. And that means freedoms are going to have to be removed. That means sovereignty of nations are going to have to be removed. Sovereignty of citizenship is going to have to be removed. There's going to have to be a globalization on every sector, every scale. That means globalization of currency, globalization of the economy itself, globalization on every venue possible. Again, one world government, one world leader eventually who's going to lead this thing, one world currency, and eventually one world religion. We've talked about this and emphasized this over and over again. So this is the shifting. The shifting is happening. Now watch. Let me show you who else is on board with this. Okay? Watch this. This is an actual headline from the World Economic Forum. Again, I'm going to say that again. This is an actual headline from the World Economic Forum. Not a conspiracy blog, not a conspiracy YouTube channel, not some crazy nut job out there in his basement on the internet. No, this came from the World Economic Forum. And it says, quote, "Now is the time for a great reset." Look at the little picture here. Push to reset the world. Now I'm going to read you some quotes. And again, you can go search this out. And it's actually from their site, from the Great Reset. Quote, "C-19 lockdowns may be gradually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects is only intensifying. What's happening? A shifting is happening. There is good reason to worry. A sharp economic downturn has already begun, and we could be facing the worst depression since the 1930s. But while this outcome is likely, it is not unavoidable. Look at this, quote, "To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies." From education to social contracts and working conditions. Look at this. "Every country from the United States to China must participate." What did Biden say? "We must lead this thing and get others to join us." And every industry from oil and gas to tech. Hello, he was in a business meeting with huge corporations. They all must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Isn't that interesting? Oh, that's right. Biden recently took a huge step toward a government-backed digital currency. Remember that? This was an executive order into establishing a future digital currency. I'm going to give you, let me read a little bit. This is from prophecynewswatch.com. They posted an article. We shared this on End Time Headlines. I want to read this. In an executive order issued on March 9, 2022, President Biden called for the federal government to consider establishing a U.S. central bank digital currency, or again, CBDC. Now, we've talked about this in other podcasts. Similar to cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, a CBDC would also be a form of digital money, but there the resemblance ends. If adopted, CBDCs would be issued by the Federal Reserve, the central banking system for the U.S. government. One CBDC digital dollar would equal the value of a physical dollar. And like the physical dollar would cease to be backed by gold more than 50 years ago, the CBDC would be considered a, quote, government-issued flat currency that is backed by the strength and credit of the U.S. government. Of course, that's not saying much considering that much of the time the U.S. government operates in the red. And it's true. We are trillions of dollars in debt. Although government agencies have 6 months to weigh in on the advantages and disadvantages of a centralized digital currency, it is as good as a done deal. For instance, quote, 3 weeks before the Biden administration made headlines with its support for a government-issued digital currency, the FBI and Justice Department quietly moved ahead with plans for a cryptocurrency enforcement team, a virtual asset exploitation unit tasked with investigating crypto crimes and seizing virtual assets, and a crypto czar to oversee all of this. Is anyone surprised? Quote, this is how the government operates, by giving us tools to make us, to make our lives easier, while at the same process making it easier for the government to, here it is, track, control, and punish citizenship that goes outside of the boundaries of what they are implementing. Listen, translate to, let me give you modern vernacular for what I'm trying to tell you. In other words, if and when this thing is passed and it comes to fruition, all transactions, small and great, whether you're free, poor, come on, whatever, what, despite what ethnicity you are, whatever, it will be tracked and it will be known. Let me say that again. All transactions through a digital currency will be known and tracked.
In 1694, the Bank of England became the first public bank to regularly issue banknotes as an alternative to coins as a means of payment. 3 centuries later, it's primarily tasked with maintaining price stability, much like any other central bank across the world. But these cautious institutions are now buzzing with talk of a revolutionary concept, a form of money you cannot see, central bank digital currencies.
When you ask central banks around the world whether they are exploring CBDC, 1 year ago, the answer was 80% of them were exploring, and now it's nearly 90%. Last year, 40% were experimenting, and now it's 60%. The vast majority of central banks are exploring CBDC.
The idea of digital money is not new. Many of us use debit and credit cards or payment apps for transactions. But what would make a central bank digital currency different? One of the big financial developments over the last few years has been the rise in popularity of cryptocurrencies, with one in particular, Bitcoin, standing out. Following Tesla's announcement that it bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin in February 2021, the volatile cryptocurrency's price surged to new highs, giving it a theoretical market capitalization that is even larger than the world's two largest payments processing companies, Visa and MasterCard. Unlike traditional money, cryptocurrencies are not issued by a central bank, but rather via a decentralized network of computers, typically using blockchain technology. Even Facebook is trying to get in on the act with the 2019 announcement that it would develop its own digital currency, known at the time as Libra and now rebadged as Diem.
And so at that point, central bankers started to realize that they were really under some threat. And the question became, if we can't beat them, do we join them?
Investors in Bitcoin believe that because there is a theoretical cap on the number of Bitcoins that can ever be mined, the cryptocurrency will become increasingly valuable at a time when central banks have been printing more money than ever before to arrest the economic fallout from the pandemic. That's why people sometimes call Bitcoin digital gold. Many central banks are worried that the widespread adoption of these independent cryptocurrencies could weaken their control over the financial system. This could cause financial instability, especially because cryptocurrencies do not have the legal or the regulatory safeguards that central bank money does. So why not issue a digital currency of their own? Currently, regular bank deposits, cash, and cryptocurrencies issued by the private sector, such as Diem and Bitcoin, all have a few features that make them useful. But the hope is that publicly available CBDCs would have all these desirable characteristics. Unlike your savings in a commercial bank, which rely on the bank's promise to fulfill, CBDCs are recognized by law and backed by the power of the central bank, which cannot go bankrupt. For example, if a commercial bank collapses, part of your savings could potentially be wiped out. But this wouldn't be the case for CBDCs, which could be as trusted as cash, as convenient as a payment app, yet also benefit from the same blockchain technology which underpins cryptocurrencies. And just like cash, CBDCs could be distributed through commercial banks, avoiding too much disruption to the financial system or the central bank having to deal directly with many millions of citizens and businesses.
Think of banknotes, which are the closest equivalent to central bank digital currencies that we have today, except that they're on paper, of course. This is money that is issued by the central bank and used daily in retail payments. The central bank sells banknotes to commercial banks, and then the commercial banks distribute banknotes through ATMs to their clients.
This means that everyone could have access to this digital currency, which could bring a lot of benefits. It could make payments faster, allowing for immediate settlement and no processing delays, and it could also make payments cheaper. In the US, the aggregate cost of making retail payments ranges from 0.5% to 0.9% of GDP. Digital currencies would reduce those costs. It also means that more people could have access to electronic payments. Currently, over 1.5 billion adults across the globe don't have access to the financial system, and even in an advanced economy such as the US, more than 6% of Americans don't have a bank account. Issuing digital currencies could also make it easier for governments to deliver stimulus checks, or even go one step further and make targeted payments to those deemed most in need.
So how soon could central bank digital currencies become a reality?
China is the major economy which is most advanced in its CBDC development. The People's Bank of China has been running tests of its digital currencies since April 2020 with the help of four banks in the country. Tens of thousands of consumers have already been involved with the pilot, spending 2 billion yuan in over 4 million transactions. For China, it could also be a means of reasserting control over a financial system challenged by the rapid growth of fintech companies.
AntPay and WeChat, I mean, these are the dominant payment technologies in China, and they are in the hands of Alibaba and Tencent. And if Beijing can wrest that back, then I think they will. And the way that they've set up the eYuan is that it will still be effectively very integrated with the commercial banks, but it is effectively a direct challenge to the payment technologies. They are trying to ultimately displace them. The eYuan is going to have its own digital wallet at the commercial bank.
Yeah.
And over time, people will probably just find it more convenient to use that and thereby displacing AntPay, for example.
There may also be a geopolitical consideration for China, providing a mechanism to shift away from using the US dollar.
There's no doubt that Beijing views the US dollar as a strategic advantage that the US has. The problem is that most of the trade, the real world trade, is denominated and invoiced in US dollars, right? And China sees this, and it's very hard for them to sort of push renminbi into the global financial system, the global trading system, but they're trying. But if they had a digital currency, that would be potentially a really fascinating angle. So you can see, if it's got a technological advantage, that perhaps this is a way for people to think about the renminbi in a different way, and perhaps, you know, ultimately start to chip away at the hegemonic status of the dollar.
But it's not just China. The European Central Bank has plans for a digital euro, although it may be a few years before it is available.
We are going to have to address all the issues of anti-money laundering, financing of terrorism, privacy of users and all their information, the appropriate technology that will carry that digital currency. And this is, you know, a project that will probably take us 2, 3, 4 years before it is launched.
This has got people wondering whether issuing a central bank digital currency could interfere with the effectiveness of monetary policy.
Central banks have addressed CBDC so far is really as part of a payment discussion. That's a discussion for monetary policy committees, for the ECB Governing Council, whether they want to use CBDC or not. But it's too early to have that discussion.
But theoretically, if the central bank wanted, they could also pass on negative rates to the holders of central bank digital currencies.
Think of CBDC as being the future of banknotes. Banknotes do not bear interest. And so if you follow that line of reasoning, then CBDC should not bear interest. And if you want CBDC to bear interest, then you're creating something different.
A lot depends on how much people would use CBDCs, and no central bank wants them to completely replace traditional cash, but rather to complement it. One risk associated with CBDCs is that in an extreme situation, such as after a financial crash, you could see people withdrawing their deposits from commercial banks and opting to store their money in digital currencies backed by the central bank.
Trouble would be if CBDC would replace bank deposits in a large amount, because then what happens is that savers could shift their saving from bank account to CBDC. Then banks could have a problem for funding. This might have an effect on the financing of the whole economy. People can shift their saving from bank account to CBDC just with a click, and this would be very dangerous, obviously.
As we move towards a more cashless society, will central bank digital currencies ever become as trusted and as convenient as banknotes? Quite possibly, though it may take months, maybe even years.
Now, you couple this with what's already in the making of a social credit scoring system. We have been preaching to I am blue in the face about this for over a year or two. This system is already in full force in China. Europe is starting to get on board with it. Australia is starting to get on board with it. And it's coming over here to America. And Google is spearheading this thing. Again, Google, major corporation. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about shifting. Biden said there is a shifting taking place. Yes, in case you haven't figured it out, the shifting is our, and I'm speaking to America, okay? Now, you might be included in this if you live in Europe and you live in Australia and you live in other places where this is happening in your neck of the woods, but can I just, for just a moment, I want to speak as Americans, as an American. The shifting that's happening in America is the departure of a sovereign nation into globalism. Guys, why do you think they hated Trump so much? Because Trump was totally against globalization. And that's why they hated him. That's why they wanted him out of office. And that's why they wanted to remove him. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. That's why he's such a threat in 2024. So this is why Biden is trying to do all that he can to thrust us as America into the globalization in order to bring these things about. But I want to go on. Let me go back to this World Economic Forum. Let me read a little bit more on this. Again, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is on their actual site. Quote, the Great Reset agenda would have three main components. The first would steer the market toward fair outcomes. To this end, government should improve coordination, for example, in tax regulatory and fiscal policy, upgrade trade arrangements, and create the conditions for a, quote, stakeholder economy. At a time of diminishing tax bases and soaring public debt, governments have a powerful incentive to pursue such action. Look at this. I've highlighted this. Moreover, governments should implement long overdue reforms that promote more equitable outcomes. Depending on the country, these may include changes to wealth taxes, the withdrawal of fossil fuel subsidies, and new rules governing intellectual property, trade, and competition. Hello. Well, again, you've heard me talk about this. There's three parts to this Great Reset. All these companies have to be on board with this. And it's this, it's the economy, it's the climate, and it's the social aspect of it. So all companies are going to be forced to comply with this Green Deal, this policy that, why do you think they're pushing away from gas-powered reliant vehicles to electric? And Again, we've talked about on other segments, in other podcasts, how they are replacing all of your meters outside of your home with these smart meters. The government has access to control thermostats in residential homes through these new smart meters. Therefore, they can determine what temperature your home should be and regulate that. Why? For a greater cause. We've all got to unite together for one cause, to quote, save the planet. This is all part of this system, all part of the regulations, all part of this globalistic agenda. Okay, let me read on a little bit more. Here's another quote. Rather than using these funds as well as investments from the private entities and pension funds to fill cracks in the old system, we should use them to create a new one that is more resilient, equitable, and sustainable in the long run. Quote, this means, for example, building green urban infrastructure and creating incentives for industries to improve their, quote, track record on environmental, social, and governance, or ESG metrics. See, there's that three. I told you that acronym, ESG. I talked about that on another podcast. Environmental, social, and governance. All businesses, corporations, and us as individuals are going to get on board. You are going to be forced to get on board to this ESG metric. You're going to be forced to comply to environmental, social, and governance metrics this coming. And again, I quote to you Biden when he said there is coming a new world order. And guys, I am showing you today that this is no longer something that is talked about in somebody's basements or on some conspiracy blogs or the deep dark web. This is now being touted openly. This is now being, and there is now an open expression of this. This is no longer veiled. This is how it's happening in real world. There is a shifting. There's a shifting taking place from the old system to the new system, from sovereignty to globalism. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, this is frightening. This is scary. This gives me anxiety. But guys, again, if you know Bible prophecy, this, although it is something to be concerned about, although this is something that can give you anxiety, although this is something that is concerning, guys, again, if you're on the right side of track, if you are serving the Lord and you know Bible prophecy, these, though they are trying times, are exciting times. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute, but I got to go on. I got to give you some more of this. All right, let me give you this final quote from here, from the World Economic Forum. The third and final priority of a Great Reset agenda. Look at that. They even call it a Great Reset agenda, is to harness the innovations of the fourth industrial revolution to support the public good, especially by addressing health and social challenges. Quote, during the C-19 crisis, companies, universities, and others have joined forces. Again, companies, universities, and others have joined forces to develop diagnostics, therapeutics, and possible vaccines, establishing testing centers to create mechanisms, look at this, for tracing infections and deliver telemedicine. Imagine what could be possible if similar concentrated efforts were made in every sector. Now, is this not phenomenal that we are seeing, again, things, wheels are spinning in motion. This thing is picking up pace in our lifetime, and it's picking up speed. Now I'm going to show you, you've heard me. Listen, I'm going to preach this till I'm blue in the face. If you're new, This is the first time you've heard it. So be if this, but most of you heard me talk about this. We are going in the direction of something that has already attempted to be instituted and put in place and spearheaded by Satan. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, guys, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 13, I believe. That's what the Bible. But look at this. Satan has already, he has always had this agenda all the way back in the beginning. And he tried to prematurely institute this, but God stopped it. And it was in Genesis 11 through 1 through 4. And I believe this is a picture of a new world order. It's a picture of globalism. Look at this. I'm going to read this, Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Now, before this was instituted, or I should say attempted by Nimrod, who was the one, by the way, Nimrod represents the Antichrist, in my opinion, because why? Because he was the world leader who spearheaded this thing. And by the way, the building of the Tower of Babel came immediately after a global disaster or catastrophe. Now, isn't it interesting that we've had disaster on global scales after one after another? We had the pandemic. Now we have global famine. We're having global pestilence. And now we could be in another global war. And so it's global disasters. And they're saying, and it's in the open now, we have got to create a new system out of a disaster. So here's Nimrod. He comes along and says, hey, there's been a global catastrophe, a global disaster, a great deluge, a great flood. So now's the time. Now that we have got to institute a one language, one speech. Watch this. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they joined, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. By the way, that's ancient Iraq. That's Baghdad, Iraq. That's where this was located. And they dwelt there and they said to one another, look at this. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Again, we see this agenda to bring about something where all the nations are involved, globalism. And it was in defiance of God. And God stepped in and said, yeah, that's not going to happen now. That's premature. But now I want to, let me bring out some stuff. I'm not going to pull the scriptures up on this, or you're just going to have to listen to me today on this part. And then we're going to close on this segment today. When we get to Revelation 13, we see the final finished product of globalism, a new world order, a one world government, Revelation 13. It is spearheaded by this Antichrist, and he works alongside a false prophet, and together they will have their own buying, selling, and trading system. And I believe it's directly connected to the worship of the religion of the Antichrist. Number two, remember I told you to remember where it talks about this. Let me pull this up again. I want to make sure I get this right. I told you to remember something in the beginning of this, and that was during this speech and during this establishment of this one world order, especially under Woodrow Wilson. He said the purpose of this was for, number one, international peace, and number two, a League of Nations. Consequently, when the Antichrist comes into power, he signs an international peace treaty with the nation of Israel, Daniel 9:27, and the nations of the world. It's a seven-year peace treaty. Again, that's Daniel 9:27. Number two, we know that according to the book of Revelation and what John saw in his writings, that the Antichrist will eventually rise up, and Daniel described him as the little horn that rises among the 10 toes. John said they were 10 horns or 10 kingdoms, and the Antichrist comes up among them. Thus, are you ready for this? In the future, there is coming the establishment between now and the fulfillment of Revelation, the tribulation. There has to come an establishment of a league of nations, and John says they will consist of 10 nations. These were identified as the 10 toes in Daniel's prophecy, and they're identified as the 10 horns by John the Revelator. And John speaks plainly and says these 10 toes or these 10 horns are 10 nations. And your Bible says that those 10 kingdoms or 10 nations will surrender their sovereignty, hello, over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. So I'm here to tell you, friends, that Satan, if you give the devil long enough, he will always give away his game plan. He will always tell on himself. He will always make known his assignments. And we are seeing this coming to the forefront. For the average individual is not going to get this. The individual who is not born again, they are not going to perceive this. They're not going to understand this. And I'm telling you right now, depending on what track you are politically, you're definitely not going to see this, because you're going to look at someone like me, who's a watchman telling you this, as a conspiracy nut job. But I'm telling you, friends, everything is falling into place biblically, prophetically, and I come today to show you this and to reveal this to you today. Now, here's where I want to end with this. What are you going to do about it? If you're watching this today and you're not right with the Lord, you're not even, you've never been born again, or you're backslidden, you're playing games with God, guys, I'm telling you, time is running out. The time to play games with God is over. In fact, you should never be playing with games with God, but definitely not now, because I'm telling you, things are accelerating. I got a phone call today from an individual in my family who has connections with individuals who know personally of them being called into Ukraine. They were on reserves, and they're being called up. Thus, I believe something bigger is coming. I believe the White House knows this. I believe NATO knows this. The leagues of the nations of the world knows this. The leaders know this. I believe we know this. I believe this is a ticking time bomb, and this thing is going to, I believe there's going to be further escalation on this thing. And I believe that when this thing begins to unfold, it's going to push the pieces of the puzzle closer together to the fulfillment of what the enemy has orchestrated, what the Bible has prophesied, and what God has ordained for such a time as this. So listen, if you're watching this today and you're not right with God, or you don't know God, I pray right now for you in Jesus' name. Father, you know who's listening, and you know who's watching, and you know where they are in with their relationship with you. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict them right now. If they're watching, if they're listening, if they're not right with you, I pray that you would draw them by the Spirit of God to repentance that they would confess their sins before you today, Lord Jesus, and that they would ask you to come into their heart, wash them of their sins, and live on the inside of them through the Holy Spirit today. And may today they make that decision today in Jesus' name. Come on, I just want you to, if that's you today, just pray that. Surrender to the Holy Spirit today. Quit running from Him. Quit rejecting Him. Quit suppressing Him. Just give heed to the Holy Spirit. Surrender your life to Him. It's the best decision you'll ever make in Jesus' name. I promise you that. And we pray for you today. There's all kinds of individuals that are watching live and we watch the rebroadcast today. And we are praying for you today because we love you. We appreciate you. And God wants you to be on the right side of the tracks in Jesus' name. Come on. Do you receive this word today? Listen, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you've not subscribed to our main website, you can do that. Download our free app. Again, it's available free. It's on Apple, it's on Android, and you can keep up with all of our headlines and our latest podcast. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you've not yet prayed about becoming a monthly partner or supporter of this ministry, everything we do is free. The app is free. The subscription newsletter is free. Our messages are free. The podcast is free. Everything is free for you. All we ask is that if this ministry equips you, it encourages you, it blesses you, it informs you, on a weekly basis, we want you to pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to do. If it's become a monthly partner, praise God. And there's two ways you can do it. Maybe it's a one-time gift. Whatever the case is, you can be obedient today, and you can do that either two ways. One, you can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Both of those URLs are going to lead you there. You can give electronically all over the place. You're going to see support the ministry, different places over there, or donate. And you click on that and give electronically. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen at P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So we're going to sign off for today, guys. And we, Lord willing, be back on tomorrow to end this week of podcasting. So again, be sure to catch it tomorrow. Join us tomorrow. If you're watching by Rumble, watching by YouTube, don't forget to hit the don't forget to subscribe to us on those channels. Hit the push notification bell so you can be notified. Share this with your friends, your family, Facebook. Share this, whatever platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Again, don't forget to share this podcast for those who would like to be informed of the news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So we're going to sign off for today, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.